Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With your host, Wayne New, Greg Nardo, and Lou Fass.
Welcome to Red Sally View. Welcome back to... Oh, fuck you, Lou. You really fucked me up.
Oh, that's me? Oh, all right, you're the one talking.
Oh, yeah. The fearless leader blaming
I had it going the first time.
Everyone else.
You fascist.
Come on and love me.
Perfect. Welcome to Rat Salad Review. Happy New Year, everybody. It's 2024, and we are back. We are back with Kiss. Hello, Greg.
Yay.
Worst to best. As I...
As you rank them.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you know, they were talking about the end of the band coming up and all that, and see Kiss shit everywhere. And people doing some of these reviews online where it's like, really, really Crazy Nights is a 10 out of 10 to you? Are they fucking paying you? Like,
you saw a 10 out of 10 Crazy Nights?
Was that Chris Jericho?
Nobody would do 10 out of 10. For
actually,
Crazy
Chris Jericho
Nights.
Said it was a perfect album. I'm not lying.
Okay, I like the album, but if perfect, give me a fucking break. Anyway.
Nothing with my way on it can be perfect. That is worst Kiss. Second worst.
What about that wonderful no song?
Oh, that's terrible.
I don't mind that one compared to My Way.
Yeah, you're right. My Way is even shittier.
Yeah, it is. But Bruce does really good guitar work on the album tracks for that. I mean, the three singles definitely float. Reason to Live's okay, but Crazy.
Yeah, I like it. It's a good song, but yeah.
And Turn on the Nights. But anyway.
Yeah, we're not going to do that album yet.
We'll get there. Yet?
Not
you
yet.
Just said it was the greatest Kiss album of all time.
if he said that, run away.
Happy New Year. This will be the last show that Manny will be a part of.
Because it'd be exclusive to Almost Human.
but we're doing a Kiss, I guess, like a ranking of all the Kiss albums. And Greg, you've been wanting to do this for like almost a year, I think it's been. But we're going to finally do this.
I've been ranking them and writing this shit up for like 8 months, and it's driving me crazy. I keep going back and changing stuff.
Well, we're going to go by your rankings. We're not going to start where anybody's ranked. We're just going to go by your list of what you want to rank these as, and then we'll discuss whether we feel those rankings are the same as we feel they are, or you're completely out of your mind.
Certainly. Yeah.
All right.
Figuring, there will be some fun ones later, but I think these we can all agree are pretty much subpar. But one thing I will say, going back and doing this and listening to all of them multiple times, I can't really say, even though that these are the worst. I mean, there needs to be a worst of everything when there's a best. Fucking yin and the yang there. But have anything that's like completely unlistenable. I have to say it was pretty pleasant, even when they go like out to their comfort zone and do shit for money. there's always a couple good tunes on it. Nothing's completely disposable. Although, Hot in the Shade, which is most assuredly the bottom, the nadir of Kiss, is definitely close. And by the way, their second worst song is Read My Body.
Oh, God. Cadillac Dreams is pretty shitty, too.
Right, you want to start with Hot in the Shade first, since it's, I think it's the worst Kiss album.
I have to agree. It's shitty.
I agree as well.
All right, on to the next one. No. Go ahead, Greg. You go.
Yeah, Greg, why do you think it sucks?
Well, you know, it's one of them things where it's funny because you can actually hear some of the bluesy shit Bruce was trying to re-inject into the band, and Paul was even playing along with it pretty well. And, you know, they talk about how they loved the demos for this, and it sounded great after we've done, you know, from Animalize, which was their first glam metal one, then into Asylum and Crazy Nights, which is pretty much Bon Jovi with a Kiss logo. They needed to get back to the basics, which at this point, this is also their third Back to the Basics album. But I think, you know, they rushed it in a hurry to get the tour done. Crazy Nights still went platinum, but I don't think they were quite seeing the sales numbers they needed to. So they said, fuck it, it's good enough, and we'll just throw 15 songs from the demo on there. Just give them more music for their money. Yeah, well, when you underwrite and underproduce something, it comes out like a slap in the face, just like that shitty song loves a slap in the face on here.
Do you have any songs that you actually like on this album, or they all just suck?
No, I like Betrayed. Mm-hmm. Is actually a really good tune. I think that's one Bruce had involvement in. Forever. What? Whether you like power ballads or not, or that's your thing, that's a great one. There's no denying it. It certainly isn't very Kiss-like, but it's a great song. And Rise to It. Just fun, stupid Kiss anthem. And I mean, Bob Halligan gets some real good boner jokes in that one, you know. If Kiss doesn't fringe at least once an album, they're not doing their job.
Yeah. Actually, it says Tommy Thayer was a writer of Betrayed.
Okay.
Whether that's right or not, I don't know. Is this
no, that's movie? Right. That is right.
I'd have been better as a Black and Blue song if that's the case then.
Who knows? It might have been. Actually, that's a good point. Probably bits and pieces of it were probably meant for Black and Blue. Who knows?
And then Prisoner of Love's a real good song, too. And Boomerang was actually cut from the Crazy Night sessions. And I'm glad they reused it here because that's a pretty good song. And Little Caesar by Eric Carr. That's a good song, too. Mm-hmm. With him. Not their best tune, but
yeah.
When you've got stuff as dreadful as Cadillac Dreams, Read My Body, and probably the worst version of Hide Your Heart than anybody who did the song. And
I can only think of three artists that did that. That was Kiss, Ace, and Molly Hatchet. And, who would you say had the best one? And who?
And there was Robin Beck did it too.
Oh, yep. Okay.
And there's somebody else that did it. I can't remember who, but anyway.
Did Holly Knight release her own version of the song?
No, I don't think she's recorded anything in decades, but I could be wrong. Anyway, what were you going to say, Lou?
No, Greg is still going.
Ace's version is the best, I think.
I liked it too.
I didn't know it was an original song. I thought it was, I didn't know it was a cover.
Well, it's not. Paul wrote it with Holly Vincent, and then
Holly Knight.
I don't know Holly Knight. Sorry, and I don't know why so many people covered it at the same time.
Bonnie Tyler. It's a Bonnie Tyler.
That's song. It. Bonnie Tyler did it first. Thank you, Wayne. Yeah.
What? Really?
Yeah.
But it's a kid. It was written by Paul Stanley and Holly Knight.
It says "Hide Your Heart" is a song by Welsh singer Bonnie Tyler.
Yeah, but she doesn't write shit.
And it was released.
Just performed it.
Yeah, oh, but it was written by Paul Stanley, Desmond Child, and Holly Knight.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, but thank you, Wayne. I knew that somebody else had performed it. I didn't remember who.
But I guess it was originally on her album.
Yeah, yeah. And then Kiss did it. And...
But actually, this was it was released on her album in 1988, and that Kiss album came out in 1988 as well. So I don't know whose was first. Oh, no, Hot in the Shade was 89.
Yeah.
All right, so she was first. Okay.
That and Trouble Walking were both 89.
Right. So was Molly Hatchet and Robin Beck, wasn't it?
Yeah, Molly Hatchet was 89 as well.
Versions, let's see.
And see, Robin Beck's was 89 as well.
That's interesting.
Well, Greg, your point about the songs that you picked, if they had trimmed the album down to the songs that you chose, and maybe throw in a filler or whatever, you know, Read My Body or like Dreams. I'm trying not to say those songs just make my stomach turn, but if they had picked, if they had shortened the album, I think I would have enjoyed it more. I guess during the CDAs, they wanted to pack as many songs as they could. I don't even think the album is 70 minutes long, but it's about 58, an hour.
58:39, apparently.
Which That's is pretty long for a Kiss, Kiss album.
It's I think it's the longest Kiss album, right?
Yeah. But I think it's just filled with too much filler. And I think Greg's point that, you know.
Yeah. I mean, not all of the filler tracks are awful. It's if you cut it down to 8 songs and actually gave it proper production, like one of the worst decisions ever, you know, Eric Carr's drums had become such a big part of the Kiss sound in the 80s. And here, play pads, or we're just going to replace you with a drum machine so we don't have to track it again. Bunch of bullshit. But
who produced that, Greg?
Oh,
Vinny Poncia. No.
I know he came back later, but I don't know. I'd have to look it up. I forget.
It was Paul and Gene.
Paul and Gene. Wow. Makes sense.
Yeah, but it does make sense.
I know they kind of went at it with Nevis after Crazy Night, so I believe that's why they went back to producing for themselves, because, well, Asylum and Animalize might say Paul and Gene, but it was all Paul, which we know now.
Yeah, yeah, that was definitely all Paul.
But yeah, if it had proper production and some overdubs were done and you cut it down to about 8 songs, you'd have a pretty decent album. It's just way too long, and the bad stuff is really bad.
Yeah, Silver Spoon, I think, is pretty shitty. Love is a slap in the face.
That's shitty.
I was listening to this album today, and I'm like, God damn, where am I going to hear a song that I actually like? And I didn't get to Forever. What was that, 7 songs in? And I'm like, okay, finally a song I can enjoy. I have listened to this album a few times because I've had this for a long time, this album, but I really never care for it. I don't really go back to it ever. Maybe Rise to It's okay. I used to like King of Hearts, but then after listening to it today, I'm like, eh.
Dude, his voice is so annoying in that song. I don't know why he went with that melody for it.
I can tell you why, because they didn't have a producer.
We needed more money.
Well, love me to hate you. I think I like that one too. So there's 2 songs that I liked off of this thing.
I'm actually kind of surprised you didn't like Prisoner of Love. That's got a good verse, chorus, verse thing like usual, but
yeah,
no, it's not memorable.
That's the problem with it, Greg. It's not memorable. You know, I'm like you. I have to agree. If I like an artist, even if I, like you said, something has to be at the bottom, I can find something, just about any artist that I like off an album, even if I don't like an album totally. But Kiss is the only Kiss album that I've owned that I played multiple times, not in a long time, that I could never get into. And I, especially at 89, I was 19. I'm still a huge Kiss fan, but. That wasn't the height of my fan, and you know, by then I took it for granted, like we all did. They've been around for so long, but it wasn't my. I remember really liking the promo video, the Rise to It, because I remember in the beginning they're putting on their makeup, and I thought, damn, that's really cool. But the song's okay. It's like you said, it's a
Bob Halligan.
Yeah, it's a silly song. Yeah.
It's just there. The songs are just there. They don't do much, and it is what it is. What do you think, Lou?
Lou, what do you think?
Well, I mean, I would like Rise to it if it wasn't for the chorus. I just think the chorus is Dunderhead, and mm-hmm. I just don't. I mean, with Dunderhead rock, it's got to work for me to enjoy it. But other than that, it's no better than Rattlesnake Shake off Motley Crue's Dr. Feelgood album. So about seven songs into this album, I was looking for a cleansing palette, but I ran out of Drano. this is definitely my least favorite Kiss album. And it's a shame for me to say that because I love the Eric, Gene, Bruce, and Paul lineup. But this album fucking sucks. The only tracks I do like are Little Caesar and Boomerang. I have tolerance for Hide Your Heart and Forever. Other than that, this album should be on a canoe. As close to fucking water as possible and far away from everyone's grasp. The production's horrible. The songs are blah. No one should ever write another attempt at Pour Some Sugar on Me because you end up writing the worst song of your career. Sorry, Kiss. Read my body. I agree with the guys. It's the worst song of your career. And if that song had a face, it would have been strong enough to make Jeff Healey, Stevie Wonder, and Ray Charles puke their guts out. So like I said, my two standout tracks are Little Caesar and Boomerang. Weakest track, take your pick.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
You don't like Forever, huh?
You know, I liked it when I was younger, but I don't know. I think this really cool band out of New York called Severed Angel has the best power ballad ever written. So in my opinion, everyone else is blah to me.
Well, and I mean, too, when you think about it during that time period, I mean, really, Winger fucking headed for a heartbreak, you know, everyone was doing the power ballads and they almost all sounded the same.
Yeah.
I mean, look, there's a lot of power ballads that came out around that time. You know, you take your pick. You know, you got Steel Hearts, Never Let You Go, Angel Eyes, Slaughter's Fly to the Angels.
I want to be with you.
Yeah.
That one, too, which is probably the most money that Billy Sheehan and Paul Gilbert ever made in their lives. And I'm not going to hate on them for that. What's another one?
More Than Words.
What's that?
Yeah, but that's slightly different than the ones. Yeah,
I mean,
got more artistry to it than the ones we mentioned.
I just think there's effort behind it. You know,
like, it doesn't mean you have to like it, Wayne. I'm just saying it's not.
It's terrible.
You know?
I mean, the songs I mentioned, at least there was some effort. There was a melody in there. This was just, you know, Kiss has written really good pop songs.
There's no melody in Forever.
It doesn't do it for me. It did more for me when I was younger, but as I've gotten older, it doesn't work for me anymore.
You're fired.
Thank you. And I'm back.
When Paul Stanley wants to write a power ballad, they didn't release them as singles. It was Creatures in the Night, I Still Love You, which is a great power ballad.
Love that song.
Yeah.
That particular song there, though, that also does have a lot to do with Vinnie Vincent. And it's a shame how that all went down. Because him and Stanley could write really fucking well together, and that song proved.
Yeah, that's true. But that, I think the well ran dry by Lick It Up because they hated each other, you know. But
oh, yeah.
Yeah, but I agree with you. Also, Actually, speaking of Vinnie Vincent, the other song you wrote with Paul Stanley off Lick It Up, A Million to One. So when Paul, well, I didn't even think about the Vinnie Vincent Porsche part of it. He can write a really good, I don't even consider him power ballads, because you're right. When you think about I Still Love You, it's got a blues thing to it, but it's not really bluesy. He's not trying to be Led Zeppelin or a White Muddy Waters. It sounds like Kiss. I mean, it's just a well-written song where
Manny, I wanted to add to that point. I thought That Time of Year by Vinnie Vincent Invasion is probably the best song that he wrote outside of Kiss. And for all intents and purposes, that's considered a power ballad. That's a better song than Forever to me. Just my opinion.
I agree with you. I think the problem with any Vinnie Vincent Invasion song is that
Vinnie.
Exactly. Because all it is just, you know, an excuse for guitar solo. Anyway. Yeah. But Forever is a good song. It's written by Michael Bolton. But I think the point that the three of you are making is, if it didn't have the name Kiss slapped on it, it could have said Bon Jovi. It could have said, you know.
Yeah, that's for this whole entire album. This could have been a Bon Jovi album.
Yeah. I mean, Kiss is not the only one to commit such a sin. I mean, one of my favorite artists, Alice Cooper, Only My Heart Talking. If it didn't have the distinct voice, that could have been anyone, you know.
And you can't blame Kiss, because at this point in time, nobody cared about them. So they were trying to do whatever they could to, you know, get popularity again and to make money. So you can't really.
I don't agree with that. I think they were doing very well, but that album, it didn't.
No, not from everything I read. No, arenas were empty.
Have any of you gentlemen read Paul Stanley's book?
Yeah, I have.
So he goes into the song a little bit and basically says that Michael Bolton had nothing to do with it. But, you know, somehow his name got on it. And, you know, he'll poo-poo his contributions to the song to this day. Meanwhile, Michael Bolton actually does play the song on stage and said, I wrote this song with Paul Stanley of Kiss. It was a big hit for them. I'm really happy about it. So, I don't get Paul. I respect him for his contributions to music. I respect him for what Kiss meant to me growing up. But I just don't understand him. I hate to say the word, but he seems very petty.
Yes.
But then again, we're not going into a psychological evaluation of the band members of Kiss. So I digress. I apologize.
That's next year.
Avatar 2027.
Yeah. Well, do you think the avatars are going to have the same...
ego problems?
Yeah.
We're going to discuss another show, but I think it's going to lead to bullshit. Like, I'm a huge Elvis fan, but already there's a couple shows scheduled in Las Vegas with a Avatar of the King. I don't know. I just think that's shit, you know?
That's a whole other topic.
Yeah. We won't get into it today, but.
Yeah.
It's not something I agree with.
Only thing I'll say about it is they shouldn't have done the avatars. They should have let Mini Kiss take over the mantle.
I agree.
They should have. All right. So we're all agreeing the worst Kiss album is Hot in the Shade.
Yes.
I think this deserves to be all the way at the bottom.
Yep.
That's how review is spoken.
Yes.
It's spoken. All right. Now on to your second least favorite Kiss album, Greg. Which are you going to pick?
Sonic Boom. From 2000. Another Back to the Basics record in another decade.
Have you read my list?
I have not.
All right. So what's your problem with this album, Greg? Because when this album first came out, I was very excited because I loved, I did love Psycho Circus. And we're going to get to that at some point. But
yeah, sooner than you think.
Yeah, I know. I didn't want to give it away. And I was excited to hear this album. And it was exclusive to like Walmart, wasn't it, too, when it was released?
Yes.
So it was kind of, you know, you had to find a Walmart or whatever to buy it. And
right next to the Martha Stewart collection.
And I remember hearing Modern Day Delilah on probably on YouTube or something like that. And I was like, it doesn't sound that great, but I'm interested to see what else this album has on air, and hopefully it's something that sounds good. But I'm interested to hear what don't you like about this album?
Well, Peter Chris, who's sitting next to Greg, doesn't like it.
No, he does not. She is.
Oh, does she? Oh, I'm sorry, Greg. Go ahead.
Quiet. I'm barking at the cat. But so much like the Avatars, if you were to feed Kiss's first six records into an AI, they would probably make something like this. Wait, one excellent song and a bunch of crap. Because Modern Day Delilah is a good song. And I was super excited about this when that first came out because, all right, they're rocking again and it sounds good. They sound energized. But then the record came out and it's just them trying to relive their past glories and put out something that kind of sounds like the 70s, right down to the Thayer and the Singer tracks. But none of the songs outside of Modern Day Delilah and really any memorability or staying power to them. I mean, honestly, Lightning Strikes, the Thayer song, that could be a good tune, but the problem with it is, and well, no, All for the Glory sucks, but with Lightning Strikes, you know, Tommy Thayer was in Black and Blue. We know what Tommy Thayer can do. And at this point, yes, he's been wearing the spaceman makeup for years. But they really didn't need to take him and say, hey, you need to play this song like you're fucking Ace and try to sing it that way, too. Mm, yeah. Same thing with the Singer tune. It's bullshit. This one is overproduced and underwritten instead of underproduced. But it's just grabbing on to cliches and trying to pretend it's 1979 and it's fucking not.
Yeah.
Honestly,
because they never did that with anybody else that was in the band. They never had Bruce Kulick. No. Well, he did sing a song, I think, at one point on Carnival of Souls, maybe, I think.
Yeah, but that sounded like Bruce being Bruce.
Right. But before this, nobody really ever sang anything.
No. And I mean, it doesn't even sound like they tried on this. The whole thing sounds like on autopilot. Like I said, like an AI writing. It just sounds like there's minimal effort put into it to push a product. And it was huge because people just hear, oh, it sounds like Rock and Kiss. But, you know, the thing about it is, and even though it's way further up my personal list, but when they get to the album Monster, and even like I was saying about some of the other records like Animalize, they took this and incorporated it into trying to make it like something Kiss would do rather than, you know, Kiss did this just to do it. And they didn't try to use any of their other strengths in it. They just crapped something out that sounded nostalgic to make a buck.
Yeah. I kind of agree. I the one thing I don't like about this album is the way it sounds. I think it sounds like shit. It sounds like a demo. It's very dull sounding. But there are some decent songs in here. I like Russian Roulette. I like Gene Simmons' voice sounds really good on this album.
It does. Yeah.
What did you say?
The Russian Roulette's okay.
Yeah. And I actually do like Say Yeah. I think that's a great ending song. I mean, it's very catchy.
Oh, yeah. That's one of the two I really like. And that's Shade Was Last because there's no classic Kiss song on it. This one I would definitely Modern Day Delilah and Say Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
And I like Dangerous, even though it's kind of corny.
I knew it.
I could. My wife always finds these songs that I like and she just laughs when the choruses get to there. And then if she heard this, she'd be laughing at me right now. But yeah, I do like this more than I thought I did, because I remember listening to it and I was like, it's not what I really want to hear. But listening to it today for the show, I'm like, it's not as bad as I remember it. I kind of do like Modern Day Delilah a little bit more than I used to. But the album's not that bad. So I don't think it deserves this spot. I think maybe it is another worse one than this album. But what do you think about this album, Manny?
I actually like it. I was excited when it came out. I think it'd been, what, a decade? How long was it before the previous studio album? I don't remember.
11 years.
Yeah, it was a decade. So I thought it was a smart move on their part to go back to the classic Kiss sound, so to speak. It doesn't really sound that classic to me without Ace's guitar. And
No,
that's not
no.
a that's not putting down Tommy Thayer. He's not Ace. He shouldn't try to be Ace. He should be himself. But I actually like the album. Is it memorable? It is while it's spinning. As soon as it comes off, not every song is memorable.
No.
I like it a lot. I think it was the right album at the right time for their career, as far as the way it sounded. I don't know if it's their second worst album. Greg, are you including the solo albums they released with the Kiss logo or not?
No.
Okay.
It's
Well,
just the 20 studio albums, so no live albums and no solo albums.
okay. Well, I knew the live albums would be out, but I didn't know if he was going to count the solo albums that had the Kiss logo on it or not. But
Are you
what's
including the live albums, Greg?
only one. We're
only
going.
one.
A lot, you can't count a live. That'd be at the top of the list.
It is. It's got
Well, see,
spoiler alert.
but yeah, I
Well, in all fairness, that's how you even it to 21. So 7 episodes
wait.
of this.
What'd you say, Greg?
Okay.
You're cutting in and out. What'd you say?
I said it doesn't get a number. It's the GOAT, the greatest of all.
Oh God.
On
Yeah, well, I don't have much more to say what I said, but I do like the album. Do I love it? At the time, I really loved it. But I think I was so hungry for new Kiss music that probably influenced that. But I don't really listen to it now, not because I have anything against it. I just, when I think of a Kiss album, Sonic Boom doesn't always come to mind. But I do enjoy the album. And those are my two cents. So, Lou,
And
you are
that's what's
up.
funny, man. You said you don't come back to this album often, but you probably go back to the 70s Kiss albums often, right?
Yeah, I do. I do in the 80s, but I would say it's nostalgia, but not really because I never stopped listening to them. So,
It's
but
just because they have good songs on them,
yeah, that's true. That's
you
true.
know?
Yeah, and I, but even the Kiss albums I didn't care for as a kid, like Dynasty on Unmasked, believe it or not, I actually love those albums now. As a kid, fuck that. But as an adult, especially the older I get, I really appreciate it. But then my musical palette has expanded, beyond when I
But
was a
so do you
kid.
think that would happen? I mean, you're old now, so I don't know how much older you're gonna get, but
But
when you
not
get
much if
older
I keep doing this podcast. But anyway, go
when you get
ahead.
even older, do you think that this album might grow on
Wayne being ageist.
No, I don't. I don't think so. I think if anything, it'll even diminish even more in stature. I don't.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I agree with
Plus,
you.
the other thing too that's different is, as a kid, I had a lot more time and a lot less albums, so I can spend, even if I didn't like an album, I goddamn was gonna play that thing over and over again because I spent hard-earned money.
Right.
Now
Now
I'll buy an album,
your
listen.
time is diminishing, so
Yeah, definitely.
my God.
By the minute, and so I don't spend as much time as with an album like I would have as a kid, which is kind of a shame. But anyway,
I fully understand.
I don't know if it I would put it there. I'd probably put Psycho Circus below this, but I still like the album. Anyway, Lou, you're up.
Interesting, interesting. Go ahead, Lou.
Next week, Wayne will be singing Swing Low, Sweet Chariot to Manny. Oh my God. So I sorry, that was inappropriate.
When I die, you guys are gonna cry like a bunch of bitches. Now go ahead.
I love you already, bro. So I have to agree with Greg. This is my number two least favorite Kiss album.
It's interesting.
That's why I'm dying over here. No pun intended. But Modern Day Delilah is my favorite track on the album. It was a killer riff and a good song. But what started as a promising album turned out very disappointing. And it all starts with Russian Roulette. Once Gene falls into the same redundant cliches that became his calling card in the 1980s, it begins to lose me. And it gets worse with Ain't Nothing But a Good Time. Never Enough.
Right. Yes. Thank you. I forgot to mention
Wayne, that. Shut the fuck up, because you played that song on your radio show. So don't even give me that.
I never played Never Enough.
You played Never Enough.
It wasn't me, dummy. It's when the station.
It was AI, right?
If anybody doesn't know, I do a radio show at 10 p.m. Every Wednesday on freeworld.fm. But
shameless plug.
Yes. if you're not connected, or if you get kicked off, it automatically goes to an automatic playlist. And whatever's playing at that time, it goes on.
So well, that playlist hates you then if it played that song.
I got kicked off and then I got brought back on. And that's what was playing. And so it wasn't me. Okay. It's an automatic playlist.
What was nice, though, was that some kind of Polish song actually came in and interrupted it a little bit. So I'm like, thank you, Pirate Radio.
I don't like Poison.
I know you don't.
You'll never hear me play Poison.
Okay. Well, thank you for clarifying.
I'd rather drink Poison.
I already made the Drano joke. anyway, more Gene cliche redundancy on yes I know. Stan sounds like it would have been better on Psycho Circus.
I thought that was an REM cover.
Wrong stand. I actually like that one. Not the REM, I mean the Kiss version. I can't stand REM.
That would have actually been cool if Kiss had covered it, though. That would have been
stand in the place where you were. No. Oh, copyright strike. There you go. Hot and Cold is just bad. Gene's trying
to
I
like that one too.
Will you shut up and stop interrupting me?
Because I'm remembering as you're talking.
Oh, I'm glad I'm triggering emotions in you right now.
You trigger a lot of emotions from me.
Bang, bang you. Anyway, what? Who said that?
Let me put the X in sex. Gee. Keep going.
Oh, hell. Good night, everybody. So Gene's trying to relive past glories from Rock and Roll Over and Love Gun. All for the Glory is a song I wish Peter sang on Psycho Circus, a great addition to the Kiss repertoire. Dangerous? Nope. I'm an Animal? The Demon Has Lost His Fire. When Lightning Strikes, at least Tommy has a better song on Monster. Say Yeah? How about Say No? How fitting was this originally exclusively sold at Walmart? It fits right up there with the Martha Stewart collection. Standout tracks, like I said, Modern Day Delilah, Stand, All for the Glory. Weakest tracks, everything else.
Did you like the bonus CD of all the re-recorded?
No, I hated it.
Hated it.
The reason why I love classic Kiss, even for all it's perfect in its imperfections.
Yeah.
There was a hunger there. This was a cash cow, and. Yeah, you know, I don't look when a band like Paradise Lost redoes an album from 30 years ago to make it more updated to sound like what they're doing more now. It's fine because they're changing it up to reflect where they are currently. I respect that.
I think they lost the rights to that, though. So.
That too. That's what happened. But Lacuna Coil did that recently with Comal Eyes, too. So I can respect that. You know, you change it to reflect where you're at now artistically. There was no difference between the songs that they redid on on that second CD. There was no difference, you know, stylistically between that and the original. So what's the point?
Yeah. I mean, I was so excited to get that Japanese CD too. I bought it, and then they released it on this, and I was pissed off. It's like,
the point was that these greedy bastards wanted to cut out the middle guy and just directly licensed songs and movies through this version.
Yeah, which
this is true because those songs appeared all throughout the Kiss Scooby-Doo animated film.
That version, but a producer or director who's my age or older, maybe even younger, they're going to want the original Kiss classics the way they remember them. They're not going to want the re-recordings. Yeah. It doesn't matter how good the re-recordings are anyway. That's not going to overtake what they originally did. Whether it's Kiss, Paradise Lost, I don't remember who else has done that shit, but Twisted Sister, you know. But
Greg, what were you saying?
I said, I can tell you the one that still pisses me off the most.
Diamond Head.
Adler, yeah, that Diamond Head album should have never been recorded. Play it live and release it like that, but not studio recordings.
There you go. Greg's got another great point. If you're going to redo the old songs, fucking record them live, period. Mm. You know? But anyway.
Yep. All right, so we're kind of a mixed bag on this because I do like this album, so does Manny. But Greg and Lou hate it.
It's just not a good record. It's a facsimile of Kiss.
Manny, do you think it should be this low, though?
No, I don't. I don't.
There's something worse than this.
I would put Psycho Circus below this, and I actually even like that album. I just don't love, you know, well, when we get to it, I'll talk more about Psycho Circus, but I really love.
We're talking about Psycho Circus right now.
Greg,
yes,
where is that on the list?
Next.
All right, Greg, do your thing.
Well, and honestly, this is the one I waffled around with the most about whether Psycho Circus would go, you know, there or Sonic Boom, vice versa. And well, Sonic Boom is just completely forgettable, as much of a mishmash of bullshit as Psycho Circus actually is. And the lie of, oh, the original band is back aside. The title track itself, Psycho Circus, Into the Void. What's Peter's ballad called on this?
I finally found my way to you.
Yep.
Terrible.
Within from Gene are all really strong classic Kiss songs that I feel like you would remember and could definitely be in the set. And even though it's not the best, and we really didn't need another rehash of a anthem, even though there's fucking two on this album, You Wanted the Best comes off really good. I mean, it's cool that all four of them share vocals on it, but it really truly does sound like, even though you can tell it's from 98, they recaptured a little bit of that sound and that feel from their heyday on a few of these tunes. And I also like how with tunes like Within, you know, that was originally supposed to be on Carnival of Souls. So they were still kind of holding on to where Gene and Paul at least grew as musicians, and then were at least working Ace into it a little bit. Like he even did In Your Face and all that. Oh, wait a minute. He didn't even fucking play on Within. That was Bruce Kulick.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's a big reason why it's so low, though, even though it's above Sonic Boom. Doesn't sound like there was a whole hell of a lot of thought put into how to do this. And Paul's story has changed multiple times over the years about why he didn't really want Ace and Peter on the whole thing. And to be honest, I think they had a lot of this shit ready to go or in the planning stages. The reunion worked out much to their surprise, but they needed more product to put out. So they decided to take some ideas that they had already done, gave Ace and Peter some token parts on the record, and then threw out the rest of it to kind of fall in line with A, things they could reuse, and B, their ideas for the upcoming tours, because despite Ace and Peter being back in, they weren't full partners in making business decisions anymore. So nope. I think they tried to kill two birds with one stone with this, but didn't put a hell of a lot of effort into it, really, in spite of the fact that there are legitimately four classic Kiss songs on it. I mean, you got I Pledge Allegiance to the State of Rock and Roll, which is just another chance to update Rock and Roll All Night that doesn't really work. And then you've got Raise Your Glasses too. It's just it's too much pandering bullshit that way, where again it sounds like they didn't care on some of what they were doing. But there's some really good songs. I can't say it's a solid record though, but it's memorable and you can listen to it all the way through without going, oh, I want to skip this. Well, perhaps not for everybody. I'm sure the Wizard of Oz early Hollywood MGM field, I finally found my way, might turn some people off. But, I mean, Hard Luck Woman was a fucking Rod Stewart song. Beth was a Top Coat and Tails type tune. You know, it's not unusual for Peter Criss to do it. It's just this album doesn't have any sense of symmetry or togetherness to the tunes. It almost plays like a compilation. So I don't feel like it gets enough steam going that way, but the tour was hugely successful and it was a spectacle. So it obviously did what they wanted it to do. Mm-hmm. But I think Paul and Gene are full of shit about, oh, they wanted more money or they couldn't play at all. They just wanted to give the two of them as little royalties as possible and get something out to keep the tour going. And when it first came out and they released the Psycho Circus single and they played on Mad TV on Halloween, I was all for it. I was nuts for this shit. You know, I was 12. I was just getting into Kiss. And they have the makeup back. Ace and Peter are back. It was amazing.
I watched that too. That was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, grandma.
I don't remember seeing that, but maybe I might have because I used to watch that show.
There's footage of it on YouTube. I'll have so to you go can see it.
Check it out. But yeah, when I heard Psycho Circus, man, I'm like, holy shit, it's an awesome song. And this is going to be a great album.
Do you remember WCW, The Demon?
Oh,
the
Demon. We don't talk about that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Dale Torborg.
Did he kill himself or is he still around?
No, he's still around.
He's still around. Okay. I thought somebody died.
Yeah, a couple of them did.
Yeah.
The Renegade. Is that who you're thinking of?
No, I thought the Demon died or something like that.
Nope, Demon's still around.
All right. Sorry, I don't mean to kill you off yet if you're watching the show. But anyway, Psycho Circus. Yeah, I love that song. And I was so excited for this album. And to tell you the truth, I do enjoy this album a lot. And I don't think this belongs this low on the list at all. Even though you can tell right away that Gene and Peter and Ace are playing pretty much anything. They got Ace has what, four or three tracks that he plays on, and Peter only plays on one. So that's pretty fucked up. Now Ace has three tracks.
Plays on Into the Void and only sings.
He played it says right here, track 4, Into the Void, track 6, You Want the Best.
Yeah, he sings on that.
And track 11 it's a Japanese track.
No.
Yeah.
He plays lead guitar.
Lead guitar.
At the best as well. You can tell when you listen to it.
Is that confirmed, Wayne?
That's what it says right here, yes.
Okay. Yeah, I believe it then.
Yeah, and he only does the vocals on those two songs. But and Peter only does the one song, Into the Void. I guess you can kind of tell on that one. But for the rest of them, you can tell that it's not either one of those guys. And that's the shitty part of the whole thing, because you were getting the
illusion
that they were coming back into the band. You know, and you were going to hope that they were working on this music and putting this album together. And I do agree with Greg. It just sounds like these songs are just thrown together on here. It kind of just sounds like a compilation in a way. But I think all the songs are really good. I mean, Within is like, I think one of my favorite, After Unholy is one of my favorite Gene Simmons vocal performances. I think that he sings it really good.
Okay, he does. And I'll give you that one because I like Within a lot too. But really, every song is good. Have you heard Dreamin'? I don't want to hear Kiss's interpretation.
Oh, no, there's songs I don't like. Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely. Even I Finally Found Way, that song is just terrible. It doesn't even belong on this album. But I one thing I do think, and after listening to it today, this is Paul Stanley's last great vocal performance on this whole entire album.
Mm. Yeah, that's true.
You know, but I love I Pledge Allegiance to the State of Rock and Roll. Into the Void's okay. And I really don't like a lot of Ace's songs, but I think that one's pretty cool. We Are One's kind of okay. You Wanted the Best. I like that because it goes through all these things about what they said about each other through, you know, when they broke up the first time, you know. And they go through all the news stories and things they went back and forth and said. And I think that was pretty cool how they put that into that song, you know?
So yeah, great selling point.
Yeah.
They sold us.
Yeah. and I actually do like that Journey of a Thousand Years song. I like the ending of the album. But those two songs, Dreaming and I Finally Found My Way, those are garbage. So what do you think, Manny?
Finally found my way. They can stick that up their ass.
Wait, which ballad was worse though? That or the one that they did for Detroit Rock City? Nothing could keep
the one for Detroit Rock City is worse because that is the Kiss trying to, oh, Aerosmith had a hit with a Diane Warner ballad. Let's do one too. So or whatever.
Yeah. I mean. Like, yeah. I'm sure Diane Warren wasn't crying on the way to the bank, but Kiss fans were after they bought the soundtrack.
Well, I even think that they insisted that their names be slapped on the songwriting credit for that song. I'd have to look, whatever that.
It wouldn't have been the first time they did that.
No. I mean, it wouldn't be. Yeah, but at least when they would do it in the past, it would at least contribute a lyric or something, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't think they did on this one. All right, Psycho Circus. Well, I was very excited about it because, I mean, Kiss is back, the original lineup, recorded an album. I was very excited. I didn't know for years they weren't on it. I sometimes suspect it, but I go, nah. And even though it was Bruce Fairbairn or whatever his name who's produced it at the time, he was a really, really hot producer. Also didn't think so because Aerosmith, he's not Bob Ezrin. If you're not cutting it with Bob Ezrin, even if you're in Pink Floyd, like you would bring in there's Richard, not Richard Wright, Nick Mason played drums on every track on The Wall, for example, except one or two. And the reason is because Nick Mason was taking too long and Bob Ezrin just brought somebody in. Same thing with this track on The Wall. It was in Richard Wright that played on keyboards on it was one song. My point is, Bruce Fairbairn isn't like that. Like Aerosmith actually played on the Aerosmith album. And then an extra player, they got credited. So I wasn't thinking Bruce Fairbairn as a producer was like that. But apparently he was like that, or maybe Paul and Gene were like that, because they had a lot of ringers in there. They had Bruce Kulick, they had Bob Kulick. I don't remember who played the drums on there.
Kevin Valentine.
Oh, okay. Is that who it was? Yeah. Who tries to ironically mimic more Eric Carr than he does Peter Criss, but
probably more Eric Singer, really. I feel he's a little bit closer to Eric Singer.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, you're right. He's got that. Eric Carr had a power behind that.
Yeah, that Eric Singer had more of a groove.
Yeah.
Yeah. And stylistically, you take Into the Void out of this and you wanted the best. It's most similar to Carnival of Souls, actually, sonically.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Into the Void is really cool. And the reason I like it so much, because Ace Frehley is playing into his Space Ace persona, you know, into that song, you know. And it's got a great vocal performance by him. And actually, that song is proof right there that if the original lineup, meaning Paul and Stanley, wanted those guys to really play on every track, it could have been done. I think it would have taken longer probably because those guys aren't seasoned professionals. I don't know though. Ace gets a bad rep, but how many albums have Ace Frehley done since he's left Kiss a second time around compared to what Kiss has done?
Yep. So I think since Anomaly, I think he's got like 6 or 7.
Yeah, so he gets a bad rep for not for being unprofessional. I think Bob Ezrin during Destroyer got mad at him because he didn't show up. So he brought in Dick Wagner. I don't think it had anything to do with Ace not being able to play. Peter Criss is another story. Peter Criss is inconsistent, but I'll defend Peter Criss. He's not a hard rock, heavy metal drummer. He was a R&B guy before he got into Kiss. The fact that the kind of playing he did probably helped their sound actually, because it was so different from your John Bonhams or what have you.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to Psycho Circus. I was really excited. I really liked the album a lot. I still like it a lot. I'd still probably put it below Sonic Boom, but I do like it. I do like it quite a bit. And I like it mainly because it's Kiss embracing their inner cheesiness with Raise Your Glasses, and which is completely corny. But I like it. And except for that ballad, they can shove that up their ass. All right, Lou, you're up.
Before we get to Lou, I forgot about this. Insane Clown Posse had an issue with the album. Did anybody hear about that?
Well, no.
What was their issue? That Kiss don't suck?
Didn't it come with enough Faygo?
No, because it was called the Psycho Circus.
Their whole thing is they felt Kiss stole their shtick because they had the whole Dark Carnival thing. And if you look at the intro to the song Psycho Circus, yes, it does kind of sound similar, to the intro to whatever fucking Insane Clown Posse album that is. However, it's a Carnival Barker type thing. They all sound similar. If we're going to bitch about something like that, then Blackie Lawless can come out and say they both copied him from his Inside the Electric Circus. You know, it's stupid. But it's ICP. They're not bright people.
No. But they did not only that.
I doubt Kiss and Gina and Paul were listening to that.
They probably had no idea. Well, actually, they probably did see Insane Clown Posse because they weren't they in WCW at like almost the same time?
No, not until 1999.
Yeah, that was crap.
I mean, they were in ECW in 97, WWE in 98, and then they went to WCW in 99.
Yeah, so they wouldn't have been for each other, but it's funny. And I used to love ICP, and I kind of remember this song, and they referenced this whole situation in one of the songs, and they wrote, "Fuck Gene Simmons, you make me sick. Psycho Circus, you stole my shit. Spit your blood out and do your dance, but I'm gonna kick that ass through your leather pants."
Yeah, hardy har.
Such wow, prolific dude. Lyrics.
Wow.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Dude. Well, let me tell you something. Whoop, whoop. I've seen Kiss several times, and they were always great. The one time I tried to see ICP, because I did like them a little bit, they fucking had to cancel the show and didn't come out on stage because Violent J was too busy smoking crack. So, oh!
They ran out of Faygo that night, probably.
Yeah, probably.
No, he was literally sitting backstage smoking crack and didn't want to.
Is he still alive, by the way?
Yes, they're both still alive.
Well, I know he had like some kind of problems where he was dying.
He lost weight, so he's all right now.
I think he's dying. I don't have to look it up.
Oh, that's too bad. See, there is no God. That's proof right there. Go ahead.
or if you don't like them, it's proof that there is one. But I digress. Anywho, real quick, though, I just want to say, I do love Peter Criss. You know, like, when we get to Alive, I'm going to say I'll flat out think it's the best rock drum solo performance ever. On 100,000 years, but we'll get to that when we get there. I prefer Eric Carr as a drummer. In my old cover band, we had a fill-in bassist, and I asked him, who do you prefer as a Kiss drummer, Peter Criss or Eric Carr? And he said, oh, Eric Carr. And I said, okay, our drummer is more Peter Criss. And his response was, oh, fuck, really? Like, he knew what I was getting at because, you know, like, crash, bang, wallop type live performances. But Peter was a beast back then, and he was the right drummer for Kiss when they started. I will be the first to admit that. And I love his jazz swing, very comparable to Bill Ward. They both were influenced by the big band and jazz and swing stuff. So, you know, both killer drummers. So Psycho Circus. Again, I agree with Greg. It's my third least favorite Kiss album. So I was bamboozled to think that this was, for the record, many, that doesn't mean I hated it. It's just compared to the others, it's not up there. So I was bamboozled to think that this was the original Kiss Reunited on record. And in hindsight, maybe it was better that way. Have you heard Ace recently? The album starts out great with the killer opening title track. Within was a grower. Pledge Allegiance. Another attempt at writing a rock anthem. Leave it alone. Into the Void. I'm not a fan of it. Its only significance is that it's the last original song that all four founding members would play on, but I don't think it's that good. If they had left it with Dirty Living, I would have been happy with that. We Are One meant more to me at 18 than it does now. You Wanted the Best, You Got the Best. Another attempt at a rock anthem that, in my opinion, kind of falls flat. Again, cooler when I was younger. Raise Your Glasses. This one I actually enjoy. Finally Found My Way. I love Peter's voice, but I outgrew saccharine ballads. I don't mind formulaic writing. Just please write a good song. Dreaming, I actually kind of enjoyed. And I didn't realize at the time that the chorus was pretty much lifted from Alice Cooper's I'm 18. I still like the song. Journey of a Thousand Years is actually a really good album closer. I have to admit that the Gene songs are better here because he invested more effort in them lyrically as opposed to Sonic Boom or Hot in the Shade. And it shows that there's 50% of the album that I do like. So you're probably asking how I have it so low. The answer is I just like the other albums that much more. So standout track, Psycho Circus, which is my favorite. Within, Raise Your Glasses, Dreamin', and Journey of a Thousand Years. But the weakest track is definitely Finally Found My Way to You. Sorry, Pete.
Well, I mean, it's Raise Your Glasses. I fucking hate that song.
Yes, it is. It's a fucking brutal song.
You know, though, to make a point with Peter and his jazz and R&B background, Paul listened to stuff like that, too. And quite honestly, the rock anthem didn't really exist in the form it does now before Rock and Roll All Night. And that was, a formula with the groove and the melody and all that and the big bombasticness and the sing-along they took from bands like Sly and the Family Stone.
Yeah, that's true. There was no rock anthems before that. People go, oh, what about Led Zeppelin Rock and Roll? That's a tribute to the 50s, you know. It's
That's like a 12 bar blues track.
Yeah,
that's not a stadium.
I know. That's what I'm thinking. I'm trying to think of any rock. I mean, I get man, what Rock and Roll Music by the Beatles? Actually, they didn't even write that. That's Little Richard, right?
No, it's Chuck Berry.
Was it Chuck Berry?
I thought it was a little.
I guess that's the closest, Greg, the rock and roll anthem I can think of, you know, prior to. I'm sure there's a few other ones, but as far as to what we think of as a rock and roll anthem, I agree with you. Kiss invented it, for better or worse.
Well, let's not forget that Chuck Berry, Little Richard, you know, all those classic artists, and I love Little Richard, but it was 12 bar blues. It wasn't. With the intention of being a quote unquote rock anthem. I mean, it was electric blues put to a rock and roll rhythm. That's really all it was. I mean, I think it's safe to say for all intents and purposes, Kiss did invent the rock anthem, which everyone after them still to this day still tries to emulate.
Yep, including themselves. And they do a disservice by doing something like Raise Your Glass.
All right.
I keep thinking of Keel's The Right to Rock. I don't like that one.
God damn, dude. I actually like Keel, but that song sucks. You got it. The right. Fuck you. All right, go ahead.
All right. Well, this is fun, Greg.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Oh, man, Lou moved.
No, I'm here. I accidentally clicked the stop video.
Sorry. All right. How many more are we doing? Because I got to get out of here.
We're done.
One more.
We're done for this.
Oh, we're done?
We're done with this episode.
Okay. That was
three albums an episode.
Three albums.
Okay. That was a lot of fun, Mom. I can't, but I guess I'm a bigger Kiss fan than I give myself credit for. I'll say that, Greg. But
good.
I'm not disagreeing with your loose point. I think my problem is, I think I told this to Wayne, if I like a band, I'm probably too lenient of a fan. I'm pretty accepting, you know. There's two ways to listen to music. Fun, casual. I do enjoy it. I do consider them artists. But then when you guys have me put on my critic's hat on, like when we did the Alice Cooper thing, had to concede that some albums weren't strong as others, no matter how much I like them. So it's a little fun, but also learning experience for me because like I just give everything a pass, you know, like so everything. That's my point. Yeah. Except for that project, whatever Wayne's on. Jesus. Actually, that's like pretty good. That's pretty good. I hate to admit that, but
All right. Thanks.
It kills me to admit that, actually. It hurts me on the inside, man.
Good. I hope it stabs you.
Well, at my age, you better hope not, because I won't last long. Either way, dude, that was a lot of fun.
Yes, it was a lot of fun. And we'll be back next week or tomorrow or however I'm doing this. I don't know. I think we're doing this actually daily, aren't we?
Daily? Well, I know tomorrow we are going live.
No, not that way, you dummy.
Oh, doy.
Pre-recorded.
Okay.
We'll see. I'll figure it out. Anyway, however we do this, thanks for watching. We'll be back next time with more of Greg's rankings of the Kiss albums.
Which, let's see how many more albums I agree with him on in terms of
placement. Very strange you agreed on those three.
Yeah, you out loud.
So, guys, here's a question. Is this Tommy Thayer or Ace Frehley?
Tommy.
Fuck.
Tommy.
Anyway.
Jerry. Oh, I notice it.
How do you notice it?
Square jaw. Tommy square Thayer. Jaw.
Every Funko Pop has a square jaw.
Everyone looks the same.
Yeah, but I don't know. You know, it's funny that the
improvement
the
on Tommy Thayer.
You notice. You know, it's funny you mentioned the Tommy Thayer and Eric Singer. When you go to Walmart or any place, or what's the other place at the mall that sell Hot Topic or online, unless it's a current tour T-shirt, you know, it's Peter Criss and Ace Frehley.
Yeah.
Yet I don't think they get paid for it because supposedly their characters, which is a bunch of shit. They didn't start as characters, but whatever.
Okay, so do we have like a couple of minutes for me to explain this?
Go
ahead.
Okay, so I had Michael Brandvold on my podcast about a year and a half ago. And I really like Mike. He was incredibly informative. He worked with Kiss. I mean, he started Kiss Online. You know, he's the one that brought the idea to Doc McGee for the meet and greets that Kiss was doing from the Aerosmith tour back in 2003 onwards. So if you followed Kiss from the beginning, if you were a fan in the United States, you know, the four faces that were the most recognizable were the makeup that Paul, Gene, Ace, and Peter wore. And it's just funny that in hindsight, Paul says, well, we should have just kept them in those costumes rather than try to give them new characters. Because no matter what, people will always go to Space Ace, Catman, Demon, and Starchild as the four recognizable faces of Kiss. When Ace and Peter returned to the band, part of the contract meant that they had to give up the rights to their makeup. So that this way, Paul and Gene would claim ownership over it so it stays within Kiss. They signed it over willingly. No argument. They signed it over willingly for the paycheck and to be a part of the band again.
Do you know just for the makeup designs?
I'm sorry?
I said, do you know how much they gave them just for the makeup designs?
I'm going to guess somewhere in like eight figures, maybe seven figures.
$850,000 just for the makeup designs. That was just part of the contract.
That's pathetic.
Yeah,
I mean, really, if Ace and Peter had valued the makeup that much more, they either wouldn't have sold it or they would have gone for much more than that.
Yeah. Right.
That's really what happened. So, you know, when Tommy filled in the role of Ace and when Eric filled in the role for Peter, when they toured Japan and Australia, it made sense for Kiss to continue on with them as the replacement members. Do I like it? No, but I'm not going to stop other people from going out and enjoying it if they want to go see it. I saw Kiss on the farewell tour in 2000 with the original four, and I was fine with that. So that's the reason why those two went on stage with the classic makeup, because it's not the names of the band members that are important to the fans and Kiss's point of view. It's the four faces.
Okay. I don't disagree with Paul or Gene totally. I think if Vinnie Vincent and Eric Carr had wore the makeup longer and they had attained a degree of success through the 80s, they didn't take off their makeup, then Gene and Paul wouldn't be talking like Hawk Boy and all this other bullshit they talk about, you know. But the original lineup is a classic lineup. And even as a kid, even though by then I was a Kiss fan, but when I got into Kiss, they were going to take their makeup off 1 year later. You know, I was 12 years old. They took it off in 83. But I think if that lineup had sustained any kind of success, then Gene and Paul wouldn't be so, you know, in my opinion, I don't think the face makeup that Ace and Peter would have been as valuable, you know. But again, merchandising, but also Gene and Paul aren't wrong. Look at Foreigner. They tour with no original members. Audiences aren't like when I was a kid. They don't care who's in the band. To them, it's a trademark, and that makeup is a trademark. So business-wise, I agree with Gene and Paul.
Totally. Yeah, to further that decision, the Creatures of the Night tour was their lowest selling attendance since they first started, because you know you've heard stories of what Paul would say. He said they were playing to barely half full arenas. Sometimes it'd only be 1,000 people in the arena, and Paul just realized that they made a huge mistake not touring the United States from when Eric joined up until the Creatures of the Night tour. He said that they made a huge mistake, and he realized that people cared more then, and that was the era that captured the hearts of the Kiss fans. So that's why they did it.
Yes and no, but Kiss were very successful in the 80s. You know, to Wayne's point earlier about Crazy Nights, could Kiss sell out a 40,000 seat arena like they did in the 70s? No, but they did 5 to 15,000 seaters pretty well during that era. So,
They sold 40,000 when they returned to Tiger Stadium with the original lineup.
Of course, because there was a lot of, there's fans like me, there was nostalgia, there was all sorts of things that went into that. That totally makes sense. You're right. Kiss with Bruce Kulick, or even if Eric Carr was alive, would never have sold that out. You're both right about that. You know, actually, maybe Gregory's, all three of you are right. But I think a lot of things in Kiss world, they rewrite their history quite often to minimize the contributions of other members, in my opinion.
That annoys me.
Yeah, whether it's the late Eric Carr or Peter Criss or Bruce Kulick or even Michael Bolton, for God's sakes, who did write that fucking song forever, you know? That didn't... it's a typical power ballad, blah, blah, blah. Nobody disagreeing with that. But, you know, lyrically, that didn't come from Paul Stanley's head. Sorry. No.
I believe that. And I don't like the way that they treated Mark St. John, you know? I mean...
No, they didn't. I mean, again... It's you know, you can say whatever you want about Tony Iommi and Black Sabbath and what jerks they are to each other, because all four of them will own up to it. But Iommi does give proper credit to the various singers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, Iommi's a boss. Everybody knows that. But he doesn't. He's even at the height of disliking Dio and Ozzy, he may have said about what shitty people they were, how mad he was. But he never downgraded their talent.
No. You know? Greg, just a quick question. You said 850,000. Is that total or is that each member?
Oh, each member. Peter, Criss, and Ace both got 850 for it. It still seems
ridiculous. Well,
considering how much they already had a lot of merchandise out too, but Rock, I mean, what we see now at Walmart's and Hot Topic. Bigger to me.
Dunkin' Donuts had to pay Kiss to get Ace to do the commercial?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they had to pay Kiss for the rights for Ace to do the commercial in the Spaceman getup.
Wow. That's crazy. Gentlemen, that's business. I'm out of here.
So are we.
All right. Thank you guys for watching the show. We'll be back next time with more Kiss. Until then, join me on freeworld.fm every Wednesday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Good night.
We are one.
Good night.
I finally found my way.
Oh, fuck off. Bye.
Thank you, Greg.